based on the head coach's comments after. No, listen, based. Stop. Stop.
Sorry.
You're
go.
Too, you're
go,
being
go, go.
Too toxic, toxically positive. Based on the head coach's comments after the scrimmage yesterday, how concerned are you about the offensive line and the interior of the defensive line? I know you're worried about Edge, but Alex Golish yesterday was like, Edge is actually coming on. He's not concerned about the Edge.
That's great. That's great news.
By the way, it's a brand new Village Vice. See Zach and Brad. Y'all, most of you know that by now. But yeah, so Alex Golish spoke after the scrimmage yesterday. And he was asked about areas that are doing great and areas that need to step up. And he's like, offensive line, at times they've been good, but when it's been bad, it's bad.
Right.
You know, Ramil, who's projected to start at a tackle spot, hadn't been out there. And yesterday, you know, Wilson Zierer wasn't out there. He said there was an ankle thing that he's dealing with. So it's Ty Buster getting some tackle reps. Jacoby Ward getting some tackle reps. Okay, but they got work to do. And then he called the interior defensive line, quote, a pain in the butt. Now, Edge is actually coming on. He sounded unconcerned about Edge.
That's great.
So, I don't know. Where are you about the trenches? Where are you with the trenches after that yesterday, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned with the O-line going into the scrimmage. I'm concerned with the O-line going out of it. And once again, like, there are questions and are the answers on the roster?
Yeah.
Like, I say the same thing about corner. Like, I have questions about corner, but I believe that the answers are on the roster. I say the same thing with the offensive line. I loved his comment about the O-line where he's like, you know, it's a cop-out to say they're young, but Baylor's not going to care how old we are come week one. Like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. No, I think there's a few things. I think there's a few things at play. You know, offensive line, everybody needs to be on the same page, and it sounds like sometimes they are, and when they are, it's good, and sometimes they're not, and when it's not, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, his young comment got me thinking, like, okay, well, like, Cole Best isn't young. Cole Skinner's not young.
Right.
Derek Plaz is. Yeah. Joe Simmons is not. Stanton Ramil not practicing is probably not relevant, but he's not. And then, you know, Wilson Zierer or Ty Buster or Jacoby Ward, you know, those guys that, you know, got reps reportedly at tackle yesterday. Like, okay, those guys are young. But as a whole, like, I don't look at this offensive line and think, oh, yeah, this is a super young offensive line. So I was a little surprised by that comment.
Yeah, I will echo his quote about who's not going to care. Anyone. Nobody's going to care about youth. Nobody. And especially Coach Hoodie in the offensive line. He said he doesn't give one crap that they're young. He's going to give it to them and chew them out and so on and so forth. And by the way, he echoed that in another part of the press conference yesterday, too, when he was talking about pushing through. And that was about the running backs. It was like, you got to push. I forget it, the exact language. I should have remembered that before we talked. But basically, it was like, it doesn't matter that you're tired. Push through.
Right.
You've got to find the point at which you push through. And it sounds like that's across the board, including for the offensive line. No, and even though these guys have played football, some of them are still in this offense. They're still young in this offense.
That's true.
Best and Skinner aren't. But the other guys are young in the offense and that they're learning what you have to do.
Yeah, and then even Skinner, I'm a little surprised he's winning that battle, if I'm being 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
Surprised they haven't, like, we've heard more about, like, scooting guys from that right tackle spot into right guard, or if,
where's Cale Ellis in the conversation?
Cale Ellis, Jack Layer, there's a lot less of him than I was expecting.
I think Layer's been dealing with some injury stuff, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm a little surprised when I hear more from Cale Ellis.
Same. Same. Like, is he strictly Cole Best's backup?
Right.
Do they want to move him around? I don't know. But, you know, I was looking more at Cole Skinner's stuff and, like, not a full-time starter at South Florida. Played a lot and started some, but, like, not a full-time starter. We're going to ask him to be a full-time starter here. Like, that's, once again, like, I think there are questions about the offensive line. I think the answers are on the roster.
Yeah.
And this coaching staff's doing everything they can to to find the best one.
All right. If the premise is that the offensive line is inconsistent, when it's good, it's very good. When it's bad, it's very bad. And there are questions about the interior of the defensive line. And they go good on good a lot, and they challenge in these scrimmage situations. Is that how concerned? What's your level of concern for the interior of the defensive line?
Low.
Okay.
It's pretty low.
Okay. All right.
You want me to like talk about that more? Or?
Yeah, talk about that more. Yeah. Why or why not? It would be great.
I think Dallas Walker's fine. And I think, I mean, everything we heard about Cody Sigler, I mean, he dominated coverage the first half of spring. That's kind of sizzled out a little bit. Is that just because, like, that story's already been told and we've accepted, like, okay, Cody Sigler's the starting, you know, defensive tackle?
Yeah.
But I also think there's upside behind them, and there are questions there, not concern, but questions in regards to, okay, who's first off the bench on the interior? Like, it seems like Malik Autry is in that conversation. Seems like Jordan Crawford is in that conversation. And like, okay, like I feel fine. I feel fine about all that. You know, St. Ferrier, you know, they've got dudes in the interior that I feel like can do what's asked of them. And what's asked of them is to eat up blocks so Xavier Atkins and Elijah Melendez can go to the football.
Yeah.
And I just think in this DJ Durkin system, you don't need defensive tackles that can penetrate. It helps, right? Like we saw Malik blocked and have these incredible moments. So like obviously athleticism helps. And I think Cody Sigler will have some of those moments.
Yeah.
But as far as like winning at the point of attack and you know, not getting pushed off the football, I just trust Vontrell King-Williams, the defensive line coach. And I trust that the threat of the linebackers behind them is going to put them in less, you know, double situations than you might see in other systems. Yeah.
What do you, and I think all that's fair. I also wonder if there's anybody that's at an edge or a buck that you could move to the inside. Could you move a Nate Johnson to the inside and have him play some there? They move Keldrick. Nobody's Keldrick right now on this team, but you know, do you have somebody that you move into the inside if you need them?
But then my counter to that would be, okay, the guys that you're moving to the inside, which aren't your best edges, because you need your best edges at edge.
Yeah.
Like it's a Nate Johnson, who's a transfer from Missouri.
Yeah.
For those, we don't say his name a ton. Like, do you have more confidence in scooting Nate Johnson into a three technique or like Darian Smith? Like, I'd rather see Darian Smith out there.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think he's making a push, too. We may talk more about Darian Smith in the months to come than we have in the previous months. So
he's lean, man. Like, he doesn't look like a defensive tackle to me. So I'm curious if they bulk him up or not. Like, he doesn't look like the rest of the room, and that's good and bad.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, early downs, threat to run the ball, like, I don't know if he should be out there right now.
Yeah. All right.
He looks so much smaller than everyone else.
Yeah.
In great shape. But like he looks like he wears 10, 11.
11.
11. Yeah, like he looks like a linebacker walking around.
Yeah.
And then you see Eric Singleton, who's also wearing 11. Official. It's like they're both big, but like none of them look like defensive tackles. So.
Yeah. I gotcha. Keyshawn Singleton, not Eric Singleton.
Gosh, I've done that twice now. I hate that. I'm so sorry, Keyshawn.
Look, and it's your face on his name when you search Auburn football roster online.
Don't do that.
Yeah, Darian Smith, 6'2", 271. That's his list right there. Yeah, there you go.
Ridiculous.
That's good stuff. Some of the other notes from yesterday, kind of moving forward, Elijah Melendez continues to be the most consistent guy. That's great for this team. Man, that's so good. Melendez and Atkins together and a DeMarcus Riddick when he's healthy, fully 100% and can just let loose. You got one of the best linebacking corps in the league now.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay. Running back room, still looking for.
Hey, real quick, if you don't mind. Yeah. Remind everyone or let everyone know you can come hang out with us on A-Day.
Okay.
We got a table. or excuse me, a tent on campus, courtesy. I'm sure there'll be a table there too.
Right.
Courtesy of our friend Ford Stokes over at Active Wealth Management.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a barn tailgate, lockdown tailgate, whatever you want to call it, Auburn podcasters tailgate. So come by, hang out with us, Auburn fans. Thank Is Ford Stokes for catering the thing and all that. So yeah, that'll be super, super fun.
That's really cool. Is it officially a joint barn locked on tent? Is it just like you and Kyle are going to be there? Okay. Who else is going to be there? I wish I could be there. I'm going to be in Florida with baseball, or else I would. Of course, I guess if I wasn't in Florida with baseball, I'd be on the other broadcast. But
so pretentious. No, I think Kyle, Daryl, myself.
Nice.
The guys on the social hour. So yeah. It should be a good time.
That's awesome. From when till when?
Kyle said he's going to get there around 10-ish, and then until the game, which is at 2. So
nice.
When we get out there, we'll kind of post videos of where we are, so folks can come and see us. But yeah, excited to meet everybody.
That's awesome. No, that's You're really awesome. Cool. I'm glad that's happening. Glad that's happening, and do want to encourage anybody, if you're watching or listening right now, you're invited to come hang out to the barn tailgate Saturday before A-Day. Are these two freshman receivers going to show out at A-Day?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. I mean, I hope everybody shows out at A-Day, right? But, it's interesting with some of the older guys being banged up. Like, I predicted on Locked on Auburn this morning that, like, I think Brian Williams Jr., he's my pick for MVP. I think he's going to explode. I think he's going to be extremely dynamic. Sounds like he had a few moments yesterday at the scrimmage. Deshaun Spencer, the fellow freshman receiver, sounds like he scored a touchdown at some point. So both of those guys having moments and just taking advantage of opportunities, which you just know Al Golish loves. Like a guy that probably wasn't going to get, wasn't guaranteed an opportunity, and then he gets one, he makes the most of it. Like that seems right up Al Golish's alley.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it comes as no surprise that Spencer would put on a show. He's the best receiver in, like, Sarah Land high school history.
Name a receiver from Sarah Land who's better than Deshaun Spencer.
There's not one.
Not one that's been more productive. No.
There's not been a more productive receiver than Deshaun Spencer. So it really shouldn't shock anybody that
Who
he's
has
out there
the most drop in the history of Sarah Land wide receivers, if you had to guess?
Ryan Williams.
I don't have that confirmed, but he's got to be up there.
By objectively, that's not even making fun because of the rivalry. Like, objectively, he has to have
no. He has a lot of drops. Yeah,
he's got a lot of drops. That's not. It's inarguable, guys. It's inarguable.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Ryan Williams and his quarterback, you have this? Do you have this tweet? Do you have this graphic?
I've got the graphic. I do not have the tweet. It's a tweet.
Okay.
Okay, the tweet says, here's this chart. Yeah.
Right. Okay. This was posted a couple days ago. And I have questions. Are you pulling it up, or do I need to come up with it?
Yeah, so the tweet is from CF Budge.
Budge.
And the text of the tweet is, here's my 2026 SEC quarterback tier list.
Yeah,
who'll be the best quarterback in the conference this year? And then this is the list right here.
So if you want to put at the top of your list Gunnar Stockton, Arch Manning, Trinidad Chambliss, well, I mean, those are guys that were in or very close to the playoff a year ago. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I get the Arch Manning high. Like, I understand people wanting to put them at the top. Now, when you get into your second level, Marcel Reed, Sam Levitt, John Mateer, Keelan Russell. One of these things is not like the other. The other guys have hundreds of pass attempts.
Well, yeah, and then you're like, okay, well, Marcel Reed, Sam Levitt, John Mateer, like, okay, all of those guys, either at their previous school or at their current school,
they've been to the playoff.
Yeah, or just were like really solid last year.
Sure.
I guess they have all hurt, but
yeah.
It's like, okay, well, like that's the experienced category. And it's like, nope, Keelan Russell is there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Star caliber. Based on what? Based on what?
Oh, vibes.
Based on vibes or based on high school recruiting rankings? Because it can't be high school recruiting rankings. Because if it was high school recruiting rankings, Jared Curtis would also be there.
Correct.
Keelan Russell has like 14 more pass attempts in college, or whatever the number is. It's under 100, but more pass attempts than Jared Curtis. And Jared Curtis like just got to campus in Nashville. Tell me again how there's no Alabama media bias, Zach. Please tell me.
This is part of the machine.
Please tell me how there's no bias. Marcel Reed, Sam Levitt, John Matergan. Now, he might be. He might have a great season. Although, I've been hearing from their camp that they're going to run the ball a whole lot more. That's what I've been hearing. That they're going to commit to. No, I didn't actually hear they're committing to running the ball more. They're committing to better scout team players to help them run the ball more. That's a real quote, by the way. Kalen DeBoer said that the one of the ways they're going to run the ball better is by getting better players on the scout team to help.
Somebody else said that.
That sounds remarkably similar to when
beefing
Brian,
up the walk-on program.
To when Brian Harsin said that Auburn would get better by improving its walk-on program.
Wow.
Okie dokie. Cool.
Yeah, we'll see if it works.
Yeah. Byron Brown, by the way, not in the star caliber. It's he's in there with Austin Simmons and whoever Tennessee gets as the starting quarterback.
Crazy. I mean, absurd. Objectively absurd.
Not star caliber, Byram. I'm sorry, not star caliber. CF Budge says you are not star caliber.
I mean, even like take Byram out of this. Like,
yeah.
Lenora Sellers isn't in that tier?
As a wild card. Lenora Sellers not even in the dependable category. He's a tier down.
Lenora Sellers with all these guys with a bunch of question marks. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Look, it's a list. It's one of the listiest.
It's one of the lists of all time.
It's one of the listiest lists out there right now.
Whew.
I feel bad. The unknown commodities. KJ. By the way, Jared Curtis, not an unknown commodity in this list. But KJ Jackson is, and Kenny Minchie is.
Fascinating.
Tennessee's quarterbacks aren't unknown commodities. They're dependable. Okay. All right.
What?
Okay, then.
All right.
Look, everybody has a list. Everybody has a list.
So, yeah, that's courtesy of CF Budge.
There you go.
CF underscore Budge on Twitter. Posts a lot of graphics. I think he does a good job presenting the graphics. Do I agree with what the graphics say? No, but they're not our graphics. They're his graphics. Right.
That's correct.
Props to him for making them.
Maybe we should put our own graphics together and post our own graphics.
I think we should.
And then we would have graphically graphic graphics.
We would also have other lists of all time.
That's true. That's a good point. Like what kind of sandwiches are not actually sandwiches or are sandwiches? Forget, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is a salad bread stuffer a sandwich?
I got to say, shout out, I mean, one of our most loyal audience members, Nava Reptiles commenting yesterday, like, how he was laughing because I'm, like, saying it's not a sandwich and explaining exactly what a sandwich is. So.
I played it for Bo yesterday. He laughed hard immediately. It was like, they stuff it inside the bread. Right. Unlike those other sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of the cubed rule of food?
No, I haven't. Gosh, I feel so uncultured.
Hold on. We'll just do this together. Hold on.
Okay. I'm looking it up.
No, I got it. Hold on.
What? There's a whole graphic with this?
Hold on. Watch. Watch. Hold on. We're doing this together. I can't believe we haven't done this yet.
Okay.
All right. The cube rule of food identification.
This is New York Times.
Yep. So it starts with our hot dog sandwiches, right? Uh-huh. We've got your normal sandwiches. And the hot dog asking, am I a sandwich?
Right.
New York said yes. All right. They're defining what it is. All right. There's a debate. Whatever. Whatever. Okay. But we got to get to the cube rule of food. The cube rule.
Jeez. What are we doing?
All right. So if you think of bread as a cube.
Uh-huh.
So if it's just the bottom part, it's toast.
Okay.
If it's the bottom and the top, it's a sandwich. If it's three sides, it's a taco. So this would argue that a taco, a hot dog is a taco.
Right.
Four is sushi.
Which is absurd. You would never think. I'm going to get angry about this.
Hold on. Let's let the presentation in first before you have comments. Okay. Super salad with bread bowl. So this would actually argue that what I ate at Panera Bread the other day was this, right?
Right.
And then if it's all around, it's a calzone.
Okay.
So these are popular toast examples.
Pizza's not toast.
This is the cube rule of food.
Pumpkin pie. This is stupid. This
you
is
have
stupid.
To have rules though.
I don't want to do. I don't want to do this anymore. This is stupid.
So these are sandwiches.
This is the dumbest thing.
See, so this argues that a sub sandwich is actually a taco. Like if you go to Subway, because it's not like two pieces of bread. It's bread on three sides.
So their popular example of a taco is a sub. What's that word after sub?
Sandwich.
Sandwich.
I think you're really missing the conceptual part of this, Bradlaugh.
Pigs in a blanket is sushi. Give me a break. We're according too obsessed with sushi.
According
what
to
about
this.
A burrito? What's a burrito?
Depends if it's closed on both sides. If it's closed on both sides, it would be a calzone, according to this.
But it's not a calzone. It's a burrito. It's not a sandwich. It's not a taco. This is dumb. This is stupid.
Yeah. Burrito. Burrito.
I'm irrationally upset about this. I don't want to do this anymore.
See, I thought this would be like right up your alley.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Please remember if you, I don't even know what I'm saying. Everybody's got vices. Make sure Bill is vices.